This is a production of Cornell University.
All right, I'm going to get us started. Looks like we have a great full house today. Thank you, everyone, for being here. Just one more reminder for EA members to rename themselves to have EA in front of their name. You can use the little three little buttons at the top of your window, your picture. It just helps throughout the meeting to keep track of votes and hands and such. So I'm going to call the meeting to order. And Andrea, are you ready to begin with roll call?
I am. I see people are still popping in, but we'll get started and catch up for those that are not here when I call your name. First is Adrian Durant.
Present.
Alan Mittman. Myself, Andrea Hanlon-Mott is here. Anise Schaff.
I'm here.
Brandon Fortenberry. Brenda Fisher. Brian Goodell.
I am present.
Claire Templeton. Oh, it's our student assembly liaison. Deborah Howell. Derek Barrett.
Here.
Ellen Miller.
Hello.
Jackie Krecky.
I'm here.
Jamie Duong.
I'm here.
Jeremy Stewart.
Here.
Jessica Withers.
Here.
Jessica Townley.
Here.
Joe Canella. Justin Chandler. Michelle Loparco.
Here.
I was going to say, I thought I saw you. Kate Supran.
I'm here.
Kit Tannenbaum.
Here.
Christy Mahoney.
I'm here.
Lisa Zacharias.
Here.
Marcus Brooks. Marcy Benda.
I am here.
And I don't usually call him, but Reginald White is our ex officio member. I think he's not here. Stacy Coyle. Stephanie Rizzo. And that's it.
Thank you. Next is the land acknowledgement, so I'll go ahead and read that. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Goyekono, the Cayuga Nation. The Goyekono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Goyekono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of Goyekono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. So thank you everyone for being here. Just a reminder, the meeting is being recorded and transcription is available if you need that. Our first item, as always, is approval of last meeting's minutes. So these are the November 17th minutes. Do we have any motions to make changes or approve? And I will say, I noticed there were two adjournments in the minutes. And I think the one that has Brian is the correct one. So I would move to have the incorrect adjournment removed. Do we need a second for that, Ellen?
I move to approve the minutes as amended per Jessica's request or suggestion.
I can second that.
Thank you, Anise. Kit, your hand is up. I think we're all set with the... So we do these by unanimous consent. So unless someone, if anyone is opposed, and I don't see anyone, so we'll go ahead and approve them as amended. Thank you. And we have a guest speaker today, Ashley Miller. Ashley is an alum of the EA, so welcome back, Ashley. She's the Employee Recognition Programs Manager and is joining us to talk about recent changes to the appreciation portal. Ashley, do you need to share your screen?
I do. I think Wendy said I'm all set, though.
Awesome. Thank you.
Although I haven't tried yet. good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for letting me crash your party for a few minutes. It's nice to be back and see all these faces. Joining me today is also my colleague, Lauren Kosikin. She also works with me on kind of helping manage the appreciation portal. For those of you that I don't know, my name is Ashley Miller. I'm an alumni of the EA, and I do manage and coordinate all of the campus-wide recognition programs. I'm within the Division of HR, so our campus-wide service awards programming, employee celebrations, the President's Awards for Employee Excellence that we just had, those all fall under my umbrella, in addition to managing the appreciation portal. And Lauren and I are really excited to share, if some of you haven't noticed already, that the appreciation portal just went under some massive updates, and we're really excited to share that with everybody. So I will share my screen. Oh, I think it worked. All right, can everyone see this loveliness? All right, so we've recently, the first thing you'll notice about the appreciation portal is that we've updated the homepage. It definitely has a Facebook feel to it, which is basically aligning with all other recognition and just social media platforms that are out there these days. So we've got some really nice pictures of the Cornell campus, which, side note, changes depending on what time of day you're on the portal. So that's really fun and exciting. The old platform was pretty easy to navigate through. I think this version is just as easy to navigate through when it comes to recognizing people or wanting to spend your points through the Amazon store or the Cornell store through gift cards. It gives you a really nice introduction. Again, depending what time of the day, this all changes, which is fun. It gives you a brief snapshot of your profile, how many points you have, how to spend your points. There's contact information, which takes you right to Cornell if you have any questions about the portal. We have also included these really quick snapshots, especially for new employees who join Cornell, what appreciation at Cornell sort of looks like and how the portal ties into that. And we always get questions on how to redeem points, so we've included instructions right on the homepage as well, so it's very easy to find. And as you scroll down, we have some more FAQs that we commonly get. All these FAQs will push you out to an AwardCo navigation page. AwardCo is the vendor that owns our appreciation portal. But we also have a little button down here that if you want to have any other questions that are Cornell specific to the appreciation portal, you can also click on this little button and it'll bump you out to a Cornell website. The other thing that we're really excited to share is that in addition to updating our homepage, we now have the ability, us as admins, Lauren and myself, we now have the ability to create and to create customized recognition programs within the portal. So no longer is it just the spot recognition program. We can now create a lot of other programs that maybe other colleges, units, or divisions have within their own entity. So what that looks like is that if you come to the Recognize button on your homepage, you can type in any employee that you'd like. Their name will pop up. You'll hit next. And right now we have three standard programs that everybody can see. We have our standard spot recognition program that everyone is pretty familiar with at this point. It's on the spot recognition to peers and colleagues saying thank you and giving kudos. New programs that we've added are life celebrations. This is a really great way to connect with your colleagues if you know somebody just bought a house or maybe they have their first baby or they adopted a new pet. You can send a recognition program through there. We always see birthday messages. So we've created a birthday program, say happy birthday to a colleague, your boss, somebody across campus that you never see. You can send a message through that. And then as of right now, we've partnered with two entities across campus. Our first one is the Sustainability Office, and they run a year-round Sustainability Champions program. And this is one of those customized programs that I sort of talked about earlier that we can now create to help units and divisions kind of spread awareness about programs they have or be able to create something really specific for your units. So Sustainability Champions has one. I'm going to backtrack just for a second because I wanted to show another one. Those of you who are in, within the SCL units, they have what's called a Big Red Apple Dining Program. And again, what's really great about these programs is that, as you noticed before, you weren't able to see this program because you were recognizing somebody outside of SCL. So we can customize these programs so that only certain people can see certain things. So if you're looking to recognize somebody within the Cornell Dining Program, this will show up if they're a part of that SCL program, and you can nominate them through that. So this is a really exciting feature that we now have on the platform, and we're really excited to start partnering with some other units, divisions, and colleges across campus. So if you're in a college or a unit or a campus, and maybe you have your own special recognition program that you do, I am happy to have a conversation with you and maybe talk about shifting that program into the appreciation portal. And like I mentioned, we can do a lot of customization with it from the little tile that you see, you know, it can be branded for your unit all the way through to the recognition message itself can also be branded for your unit, and we can change the graphics. So we're really excited to share that. We hope you can spread that out through with your constituents groups and let them know that those updates are there. And it's a really great way to just keep recognizing our staff, especially now when we're all remote and we're trying to find different ways to connect and engage and recognize each other. So that's all I have. It's really quick. Does anybody have any questions for me or want me to show anything again?
Thanks, Ashley. I was in yesterday and sending some appreciation, and I noticed all the changes, and it's really nice. Thank you. EA members, if you have questions for Ashley, or raise your hand. Ellen?
Ashley, I think I've asked you this question in other contexts before, but when the appreciation portal was first released, there was this live feed where you could see everyone's appreciation, and I really thought that was cool and nice to see. Is there any plans for that to come back, or a version of that where we can see, you know, all the appreciations?
So we are working both with our campus constituents and with AwardCo. Right now, the platform is sort of set up that it's kind of all or nothing. Either everybody sees everybody's feed, or you only see your feed. What we're trying to work with AwardCo on is customizing that for the individual so that you, Ellen, have the option to go into your profile and decide if you want your stuff to be public or private. So that's what we're currently working on with the company. Right now, everything is set to private because we're kind of still in that all or nothing sort of area with the platform. But it is something that we're having continuing conversations with AwardCo with, and hoping that our campus partners as well agree to that improvement, where it falls on the individual to decide what they'd like to do.
Okay.
I think Kit has her hand up.
Yep. Kit? Yeah. Hi. thank you, Ashley, for the presentation. I know when I've received those messages, they go really far. And I admit that I don't always default to going on there to send recognition. So thank you for, again, this presentation. Something I wanted to point out just from my own experience, being the lucky receiver of points for a gift card. I know, like, if you go through Amazon, just keep in mind that whatever the price is on Amazon, AwardCo is going to take the price with tax and deduct that from your points. So, like, for example, if something was $15.01 with tax, it's going to round it up to $16. Little caveat, not not the greatest, not the most important thing in the world, but I did find that from my experience. But I've also used the Cornell. I've also done the Cornell SOAR gift card to make a technology purchase, which was really helpful. So.
Yeah, thanks, Kit. I appreciate that. And that also brings a great point that we also try and share with people a lot is the platform we use with AwardCo, their partnership with Amazon, is that on the appreciation portal, you're only going to see Amazon products through Amazon approved vendors, not third party vendors. So we really try to educate people across campus and to let them know that we really discourage them from going to the actual Amazon website to find things, because sometimes you won't actually find them on the portal if it's through a third party vendor. So we get that question a lot. And also to your point, if you're on the Amazon website and you're on the platform, a lot of people do notice that discrepancy between this product says it's 15 on Amazon, but the portal says it's 26. So we do that on purpose. And what that basically does is the portal kind of buffers your points so that you as the customer are not responsible to pay any kind of shipping or taxes when you go to redeem your gift through the Amazon account. So that's why there's that discrepancy. And AwardCo did just a general buffer on all things so that it doesn't fluctuate too much per product you're looking at. So that's another reason why you'll see that discrepancy. It's so that you as the customer don't have to worry about any additional expenses when you go to redeem anything through the portal itself. But thank you again for bringing that up, Kit. I appreciate it. It's always things I try to remember to tell people.
Any other questions for Ashley? I will mention, and Ellen can say more about this if she wants, but the Employee Assembly does have its own account in the appreciation portal, and we do use it to send appreciation to presenters and guests and when members have been nominated for awards, other general appreciation to staff.
If you ever would like to send a recognition to someone from the EA, just let us know. And there's a couple of us that have access to that profile. And we can send it.
All right. I'm not seeing any other hands going up. Thank you, Ashley and Lauren. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks so much. And if anyone on the call, like I said, is in a unit, a college, a division where you have your own recognition program, or maybe you know of somebody who coordinates a recognition program, feel free to send them my email address or Lauren's, and we'd be happy, like I said, to have a sit-down conversation and kind of talk about, is it possible to bring your recognition program into the portal? And I'll put my email into the chat so everyone has it.
Ellen, did you have a question?
Yeah, sorry. I just thought of one other question. Recently, you've been doing kudos boards with some of your recognition programs. Ashley, is that linked to the portal or the recognition portal or the AwardCo, or is that something separate? The kudos.
That's something separate. One of the reasons that we've started incorporating the kudo board with our events is that we're trying to build that content so that we can make videos. because of the remote world that we're in, videos is sort of how we communicate out through our events that are usually hybrid. So that's why we use the kudo boards with the appreciation portal, because everything is set to private. We don't publicize any of those recognition messages unless we get permission both from the sender and the receiver, which is what you and I work on together with the EA newsletter to help promote the portal. So they are separate entities and we do use them for different things.
Thank you.
Thanks again, everyone. I appreciate your time and feel free to reach out to me.
Hey, Ashley, I have a quick question before you go.
Yeah.
So with hearing you talk with wellness, we do a lot of like challenges and stuff like that. I'm wondering if there might be a chance to do, to link up to do possibly a challenge.
Yes, absolutely. Challenge. Yep. And actually, wellness is on our list of people that we're trying to come after.
Yay. Awesome. Cool. I'll be sending you an email then.
Okay. That sounds awesome. Great. Yes. Yep. We would love to do that. And that's a great point. That's another feature we can do. These challenges that wellness does, we can make those into a recognition program onto the portal so we can set dates for them so that it's only available through a certain amount of time. And then once the program is done, it sort of closes automatically until the next one or the next year that you do it.
Beautiful. I have so many ideas. Can't wait to chat.
Love it. Send me an email.
All right.
Good connection, Jeremy. Thank you. All right. We're going to move to the next item, which is once again liaison appointments. And hopefully someday we'll be done with these. We have Jeff Syria has volunteered as the employee representative to the University Assembly's Campus Welfare Committee. And this is the committee Deborah Howell is chairing. It looks like she wasn't able to join us today. But Jeff is here. Jeff, do you want to say anything about yourself? Hi. Hey,
I'm grateful to be given the opportunity to serve Cornell community in some way.
Thank you.
Looking forward to learning. Thanks.
Thank you. So we do have to vote on liaison appointees. So we'll do these by unanimous consent as we have been. And Ellen, did you want to nominate Jeff?
Yes, I do. I would like to nominate Jeff Syria for the role on the Campus Welfare Committee.
Do we have a second? Brian?
Yep.
Thank you. So unless there's anyone opposed, and I'm not seeing anyone, so we will appoint Jeff Syria, the employee liaison to the University Assembly's Campus Welfare Committee. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Jeff. Congratulations. We also needed to refill our employee assembly member seat on that committee. I did mention that at our last meeting, and I have not received any volunteers. I'm going to do one more final call for a volunteer for the Campus Welfare Committee. This would be an EA member. And if I don't see anyone, which I'm not, I actually am going to nominate myself for that. Deborah is a library coworker, so I'd like to support her and also fill this seat. So what I'm going to do is turn the meeting over to Andrea, and she can manage the voting. Ready?
I am.
I second the nomination, Andrea.
Yes, I'm calling for it. You nominate yourself. I need someone to second it. That's Ellen. And we do a formal vote, or is it
unanimous consent for the appointee?
Unanimous consent.
So is anyone opposed?
Anyone opposed? There's a lot of head shaking.
My third.
Exactly. Well, so moved. Jessica, you are filling that seat on the university or the Employee Welfare Committee, right?
Campus Welfare Committee.
Campus Welfare Committee.
Thanks, everybody. So, I really want that committee to be able to get working on some projects, and I'd like to really support Deborah. So. Thank you.
Great.
Thank you. The only seat we have left is an employee representative to the University Assembly's Codes and Judicial Committee. So we're just gonna let that one sit. If any member hears, if a staff member who's interested in serving on that, please let me know. But I'm not gonna keep asking. Oh, Brandon, your hand is up. Are you going to ask?
No, I was just going to make sure folks know that that committee is going through changes and will be shifting a little bit because it's no longer the judicial process. It's a student conduct and community standards. And so there's a great opportunity there to be a part of a committee that is redeveloping something that could be beneficial to not only just the University Assembly, but also a support mechanism for the employee assembly. They're looking at ways in which they can be supportive as a committee beyond just what they used to do, which was the student code of conduct or the code of conduct. Now it will be, we're looking to expand that committee. So I would love to see an employee assembly member who's interested in advocating for. One of the things they're talking about is codes and bylaws. Is they're looking at, you know, how do we look at our governing documents within the entire assembly's organizations to help to identify that. They're looking at lots of different ways that they can be a committee to better serve the university assembly and all assemblies at large. So it's a great opportunity to do something different, and it's not just about codes and judicial processes anymore, and you could help to frame and develop what it can be for the future.
Thank you, Brandon. I just want to clarify, Lisa Zacharias is our EA member on that committee. We're looking for a non-EA member, so just a staff, an employee. Thank you for explaining that, though. The Cogen Judicial Committee is way beyond my experience. All right, 12:42. We are up to committee reports and updates. And now that we're past the president's visit, we're going to go back to the half and half committee reports, just in the interest of trying to find time for liaison reports and open business, which was we have not had a lot of time for so far this term. So first up, we have executive committee, and that is led by Andrea.
Hi. Our exec committee has been pretty consumed with the president's address to staff, as well as the president joining us. Our next bit of work that we're trying to facilitate is guest speakers that are coming to the EA for the rest of this month, as well as into the new year. If anybody has any additional suggestions, folks have been good about bringing forth folks to address the employee assembly. If there's anyone else that anyone knows of, please let us know. That's something that we have spent quite a bit of time in, making sure that we have a variety of folks that come to provide us with information, but also to be able to then get the word out about some additional elements and things that are going on around campus that are relevant for us to know as EA representatives. I think that's the extent of the work that we've been working on and trying to sort of guide us through this next year.
Thanks, Andrea. Any questions for exec? You can raise your hand. Okay, we'll move on to Employee Welfare Committee with Christy.
Hello. The committee has been, open my notes from today's meeting, sorry. We have been supporting an effort that Brandon Fortenberry had initiated regarding the enhancement to the onboarding process. There is a subcommittee, some of the members of the welfare committee are working with him on drafting a potential resolution. Brandon, you can speak more about that. We had been working in support of the DCNG and the sense of belonging among the community of employees with disabilities. I think Andrea was leading an effort there and making great progress in conversations with the new director of belonging, as well as Reginald and Mary. We have been partnering, continue to partner with Work Life and Wellness regarding the talking circles. That pilot went really well, and they'll be launching a more robust effort in the spring, partnering with some facilitators from SCL. Discussed the idea of a wind down to winter break program like we did last year, but realized that everyone's feeling a little overwhelmed and that maybe there's a different approach rather than a virtual session, but maybe just a communications campaign. And then we've identified some topics for future exploration, perhaps over the next term. The issue of the internet equality that staff experience, or inequality that staff experience, and the impact on our work, given the New York and the federal government's focus on that, and how Cornell can can tie in and do more around that. There's employee retention is a big focus, and we'll be working with WorkLife to see how we can support the development of tools there. And we were informed today that there is a really strong look at the data around health insurance and healthcare over the past 2 years, and there may be some media campaigns that we'll want to partner with the EA on. The benefits office will want to partner with the EA on that. So.
Thank you, Christy. Any questions for Christy? The Welfare Committee?
A question, but just I am just so much in awe of you and your committee, Christy. You guys handle so much, and you you really dive into the deep issues, and it's really great. You guys do great work. Thank you.
It's a great team. I encourage anyone who wants to show up. I will follow your advice and get those meetings posted on the EA website, but please feel free to participate. It's really a great group of people.
Thank you. Moving on to Benefits and Policy Committee, Brian.
Hello. So we haven't had a meeting since October, but we do have one planned for the 14th of December. At that meeting, we're going to talk about revisiting the priorities poll and the EA retreat. Update on the emails that was sent out for the pet policy and answering some questions there. We'll be talking a little bit about, we have an opening right now and looking to fulfill that. It's a non-EA voting member. And then we're going to talk a little bit about the correspondence we received from Jamie on a Cornell Sun article. So there's a lot of stuff packed in the agenda. I'm looking forward to everybody participating. And it looks like it's going to be a good meeting. So come on, come on.
Thank you, Brian. Any questions for Brian and the Benefits and Policy Committee? All right. Next up, we have the University Assembly, but Brandon is looking for a new location. So his camera's on. You there? Excellent.
I'm back. Yeah.
Okay. It's been time.
I was in the lovely spot in the memorial room, and somebody decided to serenade me, and I needed to relocate. So. So the University Assembly last night, we had no major items. A couple of updates from the Student Assembly working on a lot of byline funding items. They've had a lot going on. They've been in special meetings for that, as well as. And I've grabbed the wrong notebook here. Actually. Can we move to the next person and then come back to me?
Okay? Sure. Do we have any other liaisons with reports to give? Go ahead and speak. Jackie.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, for the Faculty Senate, their meeting was prior to our last one, and the majority of it was stuff with the president coming in to speak and a lot of stuff that we also heard. And a bulk of their work was related to faculty appointments and that process. And also, there wasn't anything specific for staff to report in.
Thank you. Any other liaisons?
All right, I found my right paper, Jessica.
Okay.
I had two copies of notes in here. So we had some reports from the sustainability group talking a little bit about some of the initiatives happening at the carbon neutral campus and looking at ways in which they can continue to move that forward. There was a lengthy conversation surrounding waste on campus. There's a resolution that was brought to the floor discussing an initiative to bring in containers that are solar powered and self-monitoring to allow for more waste receptacles to be put on campus, but would require less monitoring and less emptying. That also have some potentiality of being able to extend Wi-Fi networks, so kind of a cool initiative. The resolution had a number, a lengthy conversation around, you know, what its goals are and how we can meet it. It was sent to the Committee for Infrastructure, Technology, and Environment. They're going to work on that a little bit more, but I think it's a great initiative to look at, you know, how can we enhance the waste management options on campus without increasing our carbon footprint. By having more trash cans that we have to elect all of our campus units self-monitor, and they send signals to say, like, hey, trash can's almost full, come and pick it up. So kind of a cool initiative. So they're looking at how they can bring that to the committee and strengthen the verbiage around it a little bit more. And I think those are the kind of the main items that we had there. And that's it from the University of Finland.
Thank you. Yes, that the research into those trash containers, the solar powered one, is fascinating. And I'm really glad that we have recently filled both of our seats on that committee. Stephanie Rizou is our EA member, and Nick Finelli, I think, is our staff member on that committee. So I'm hopeful to hear some great work coming out of it. Ellen, your hand is up.
Yeah. Did Brandon, did you say that the waste receptacles also boost the Wi-Fi signal?
I did. The units that they looked at, they actually have Wi-Fi extenders built into them, and they can actually be used to bring Wi-Fi from nearby buildings out into public spaces.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah.
Any other questions for Brandon? Great. Thank you, Brandon. I did see that Michelle Loparco mentioned that she still hasn't heard anything about the Transportation Hearing and Review Board. And yes, the Office of Assemblies has been looking into that. So hopefully you'll hear something soon about it. Michelle and Lisa, I think both of you are on that. Thank you. Any other liaisons? If not, we actually have time for new business today. I'm super excited. 12:53.
And did you miss the Education Committee?
They were going to report at the next meeting, unless Marcy needed to.
I was going to report at the next.
Okay.
Yep.
Thanks, Marcy. Thank you, Brian.
Yep. But yep.
So we have two employee assembly members have asked to bring up some new business. The first one is Jackie Creakey, who wants to discuss functional reviews.
Hello, everyone. So I hope to put a resolution through the Welfare Committee, and it was sparked by a staff member at the college reaching out to me, and we did some digging and thought that the resolution we got for them at the college was helpful, and it would be very valuable to have that same type of issue addressed with all of the functional reviews. So the way that this came to us is there's some staff members at the college who were reporting issues with the finance, restructuring, changing how they had to do business, and it was confusing because they didn't get information about it. I think and this is information from the summer or the spring, so things might have changed since then, but basically the story was that the communication was occurring within the DFA, but not necessarily to the end users. And so that was very confusing and a little disheartening because they felt like they were, these choices that were not necessarily in their favor were dumped on them. And the processes they felt were being streamlined within the DFA ended up costing the end users more time and effort. And there was a reduction in the personalization of the service that they received. So they weren't especially happy with that. And on top of that, because of this actually relatively unique situation at the Beck College, we have the hospital, which is a separate unit than the College of Veterinary Medicine itself. So the finance group for the hospital users were actually transitioned and centralized ahead of the Beck College. That's the long story short. So the communication that they might have received wasn't sent to them, but the Beck College itself hasn't actually transitioned yet. They're actually planning on transitioning in the spring. I talked with the dean about this, and they're planning on doing a communication at the December town hall so that the Beck College, its staff themselves, can find out about that change. But because there wasn't that understanding of the different units changing over at different times, a lot of morale was decreased, rumors were spread, a lot of the DFA people were retiring, and then there was no understanding of what was going to happen next. The positions were not filled in the same way that you expect. In one case, there was a position that was filled centrally instead of with the group that they would normally fill it. So there was a lot of people feeling very unsure of what they can expect and feeling very pessimistic about that. So what ended up happening is I talked to more people at the college. And as I was mentioning, most of the people that I spoke to didn't know anything about this because most of the vet college has not had this issue yet. But then I did learn that the dean of the college and the assistant dean of finance at the college were in charge of the strategic group that did the restructure planning for finance. And they met with me and some other people at finance, and they explained what the college is planning on doing. And I voiced the concerns about communication to the end users, as well as an opportunity for feedback, because there was definitely a decrease in their efficiency in terms of end user getting to the product they're used to, because there was a lack of understanding and a lot more work was required by the end user. So they wanted to be able to provide feedback, and they also didn't understand how long this process was going to take, when it was going to be set in stone. So they wanted the opportunity to provide feedback before this restructure was finalized, and also have the option to have the processes that were designed by not necessarily end users modified for the benefit of the people who were receiving those services. So those are a couple of those issues that I wanted to bring to the EA to request of all of the restructures that were being done. But I will also throw in that some of the DFA members at the Vet College were very concerned about other things, which was addressed in that meeting that I had with the dean and the assistant dean of finance. They were very sad to be leaving the Vet College. They chose that job because they wanted to be able to be in that community, and they like being able to work directly with the students, the projects, the faculty and staff that they work with, and they feel that their jobs are going to be turned into assembly lines far away from all the people that they interact with. And that is something I understand is not necessarily within our ability to change at this point. I did hear from the dean the perspective that this was something that was started at the beginning of COVID, with the understanding that we might be dealing with some budget issues. So their goal was to try to save money so that we could save jobs. So I understand that that was a very critical concern at the beginning. And I think when I relayed that back to the staff that asked, they appreciated that perspective. But at the same time, one of the concerns that a lot of the DFA staff have here is we have some very specific needs. So one thing, for example, is we work with orders that literally have lives depending on them. And if it gets centralized, those people may just put it in a queue just like every other order. And that is something that they are concerned is going to decrease service out of the hospital. And another thing is we have some very special clientele. A lot of donors have pets that get taken care of at the vet school. And they wanted to make sure that we did not decrease our level of service to our customers. So those issues were brought up with the dean, and they said that they are definitely going to make sure that we do not decrease our service to our end users outside of Cornell, and that he's going to open up feedback from he's going to maintain feedback. He always does that, but he's going to make sure that it's clear that there will be a feedback process as the vet college gets transitioned in the spring. So those are the types of things that I learned out of that process that I wanted to put in a resolution for the other types of restructures. I don't know much about any of the other restructurings, and I know that some of it is sort of already set in place. So I think I would love some feedback from people who know more about some of the other restructures, or if they have more questions about what those other restructures look like, and what we could add to this resolution. Because right now, I think the primary two issues that I want is the communication to end users beyond the unit that is being impacted, and the opportunity for feedback with the hope of being able to modify processes before they're set in stone.
Thanks, Jackie. So I'll open it up for questions or comments, feedback for Jackie. Ellen, I see your hand is up.
Yeah, I was not involved at all in any functional review processes, so I'm not sure, I can't speak to that side of it, but I did, one thing that I found so interesting, I was in, I believe it was a DFA conversations recently, although it may have been an SFS roundtable, I don't know, it was a finance discussion, and they were talking about, you know, moving the business service centers of the individual colleges and units, their business service centers, into this central university business service center, and that the model would be like a ticketing system, like with IT when you submit a ticket. And then, you know, whoever gets your ticket, you know, responds to it, and there's like an expected wait period and response period. But like you said, Jackie, the thing that was kind of shocking and concerning to me about that was that, you know, we know that Cornell is a decentralized campus and every unit and college has different needs and different expectations. And to put your request into this general pool, it's like when you have currently a business service center representative that knows you and knows your business and knows what you need. I was like a little bit shocked. I understand the overall efficiency for the university, but I just feel like when we talk about Cornell and how it's so decentralized and how it needs to be decentralized because we have so many different functions and I guess end goals, it's like, then why are we suddenly trying to make it so central when we understand that there is a need to be decentralized? So it's confusing to me, and I'm not quite sure that I am on board with it. I mean, I guess, you know, whatever happens will happen and we'll get used to it as usual, but I wasn't impressed by that concept of having to submit a ticket for a business service center rep.
Thanks, Ellen. Kit, your hand is up.
Yeah, I would like to add to what Ellen shared, just from my experience in my own job. For those who are unaware, I work in conference and event services, and I do room scheduling for various buildings over the years. Right now, it's primarily Willard Strait and Hope Plaza. And I don't know how many of the staff are familiar here, but right before the start of COVID, our office, along with University Registrar's Office, really moved to create the 25 Live system to get all of the spaces on campus into that tool and available for reservations. And I know just from my peripheral experience of seeing what my leadership has gone through, they have had to, there's only so much centralizing that can happen and that many areas of campus are given more autonomy as to processes that work for them, and trying to play that balancing game. So I guess going off of what you said, Ellen and Jackie, I guess from a different type of centralizing process, it seems that there are always going to be nuances at Cornell. And I hope that this process would look to address and be flexible in those areas.
Thank you, Kip. Any other feedback, comments, questions?
Yes, let me put my hand.
Hi, Adrian.
I was looking for the hand thing. the centralizing of with the BSC stuff, you know, I'm a track coach and we're doing all these expense reports for recruiting. And, you know, there are individuals who know us and know what we do, and we still have to explain certain things. So I could see that process becoming a lot more difficult with someone who doesn't understand what we do in athletics every day. It's going to make things a lot more difficult for us. And, you know, I'd like to say, oh, well, you know, they're going to take that into consideration and learn athletics. But I'm not seeing that happen in other areas right now. I have a young man who's currently ineligible to compete or practice because he was advised by maybe four people in his department that he could drop a course and it would not impact his eligibility as an athlete. So he received bad information. Now he's no longer eligible, and he's at a point where he cannot enroll in a course. So he's going to miss three track meets and he's not allowed to practice. And the reason he dropped the course is because he was falling behind because he had to have an emergency surgery. So I often find, you know, as a member of athletics, we're often in situations where we're not regarded when any of these decisions are made, and they make our job a lot more difficult and they impact the student athletes that we deal with. So that's just my comment on that. When it comes to the BSC, I can see that making things a lot more difficult.
Thank you, Adrian. I will say, if anyone has further comments or questions or wants to work with Jackie, go ahead and email her. Jackie, may want to put your NetID in the chat just so everyone's got it readily available. I think we did. I will say, Exec brought this question about the functional reviews to Mary Opperman, and her recommendation was if we're going to do a resolution, to have the requests, the resolved clauses, be very specific asks so that we can actually get the support and the communications, for example, that we really are looking for. So I think if anyone wants to work with Jackie on this, that would be great. Yes, Ellen.
Sorry, I have one more question, and I don't know if this was already addressed or not, but are the functional reviews still in process, or are there reports on the functional reviews that are available to the public to view, or what is, or is that part of the resolution that, like, we want to know what happened with them?
My understanding is that communication is occurring within the units, not publicly. And that's one of the things that we want to address, is have more information to the public or the end users, really, so that they can understand and anticipate and maybe even compensate as necessary.
And they're long-term projects, and there are all these functional reviews. I want to say there's six of them, but don't quote me on that. But they're all happening on their own and rolling out in different ways at different speeds. All right, so next up, Lisa, did your hand is up?
I just have a quick question on these functional reviews, because I'm not aware of them at all. So are these functional reviews taking place in the different divisions or colleges and units within their SLT?
I'm not sure what an SLT is. There are things like there's communications development. I think alumni. Yeah, a communications development, finance, HR, and one or two more that are being that were reviewed and now they're being implemented. The reviews are already done.
Okay, so yeah, so when I say SLT, senior leadership team, so they must have, all of them have it, right? Is that how it goes, Jackie? Yeah, and that's the problem. Senior leadership, they don't do our jobs. So of course they're gonna, you know, come up with whatever. Oh, this is interesting. Thank you.
I hear you. And what I understand is that there were advisory committees set up to study and make recommendations on what to do. And that has already happened, and now they're being implemented. And obviously there's, like, I think six or seven different groups, and they're operating independently on how they proceed. What the only parts that I do know for finance that I heard directly from the dean who was involved in that whole process, is that each unit is being rolled out sequentially and they're learning as they go. So yeah, our group is not next, but the next one after that. And in the spring, and somebody brought up at the DFA meeting, which was very helpful, they wanted to make sure that it wasn't switched over around year end. So that was some good feedback before that gets implemented. So I think there are probably some people who already know what's going on, but it's because it's already happened to them. I think it would be very helpful for people who haven't yet known anything beyond, you know, that notice from the article was back in spring. About changes are coming, it would be very helpful for them to understand that better. They would feel better, and I think the process would go better if they understood what was happening and what they would be able to do about it.
Right, right. Great. Thank you. Thank you for the article, too.
Right. So next up, Brandon wanted to talk about support for non-native English speakers.
Thank you, Jessica. And thanks for getting me on the agenda. It was something that was brought to my attention, a conversation around providing. Can everyone hear me okay? My internet is kind of going in and out, so good? Okay. Around creating a colleague network group for non-native English speakers. And as soon as it was brought up, I was like, oh my gosh, it's such a great idea. I think there's a need for those who are, English isn't their first language, or sometimes not even their second or third language for some folks. And, you know, dealing with all the things that get thrown at someone as they get hired on to Cornell, or that they yearly have to complete trainings and development things, figuring out ways in which to provide support mechanisms for those folks to reach out to and understand what avenues they have to be able to manage those I thought a college network group would be a really great avenue with which to develop something of that kind that might be beneficial to folks. So I wanted to just bring it here and see if others felt similarly. I will acknowledge that I don't know that I have the bandwidth to take this aspect on fully. I would love to be a support mechanism, but I don't know that I could spearhead the movement. And I don't even know how you go about spearheading a movement to get a college network group started even, and how the original ones got going. So I just wanted to kind of throw out the thought and hear from folks on the assembly if they had any thoughts or perspective of how we might be able to support our non-native English speakers.
Thanks, Brandon. I see Andrea already has her hand up.
Is this something that you've had any conversations or preliminary conversations with the folks who manage the Colleague Network Group, which is the Office of Inclusion and Belonging?
No, I have not. Like I said, it was a thought that was presented to me, and I wanted to bring it here and kind of throwing it out there, hoping someone might be able to help run with the ball a little bit. As I said, between the University Assembly and other things, I'm not something I'm able to spearhead at this time. I was hopeful that there might be somebody else that would be interested, or in ways we could look at that.
Thanks, Chris.
I personally don't have the capacity either, but I think the next step would be to talk to that office about the creation and how, whether or not it's a colleague network group or any other type of affinity group, because that office is charged with the facilitation of the network groups.
Thanks, Andrea. Christy, I see your hand is up.
Yeah, thank you. Brandon, I think that it would be reasonable for the Welfare Committee to reach out to the Office of Diversity and Inclusion and say that the suggestion came forward and invite them to a conversation about it. Do you want to forward me any a summary of the recommendation or request that you received, and I will pass it on and see what we can do?
Yeah, I can send you most of it, just kind of my thoughts and perspectives on it, having interacted with a lot of new hires who are non-native English speakers and kind of some of the struggles that they've had in dealing with that aspect. So I can give you some of those items that I have already. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrea and Christy. This is a great example of why open this new business is so helpful, just to make these connections and figure things out. Marcy?
I'm on mute, sorry. I wasn't sure if this might be something that the CLASP, the CLASP group might be able to help with as well. Christy, I was thinking also the education committee might, pop in, but welfare might be best. Whatever. I mean, I wasn't sure if the class might be a good group too or not. I don't know what their wheelhouse is or what their ability is, but yeah.
Thanks, Marcy. I have connected with CLASP on a few other things, and I know they're a great resource. The thought there was that I think there are already a lot of resources, and sometimes there's just a lack of connection to those resources. I think we all talk about that on a regular basis, and that this may be an avenue with which to create a more defined and approachable connection to those networks, such as CLASP. There's a translator program at Cornell. There's several other resources that exist that many staff and students aren't always aware of. And so that was sort of the thought behind that.
Thank you. Any other comments, thoughts, suggestions for Brandon? Go ahead and raise your hand if you do. All right. It is 1:15. I'm going to actually, Brandon, or no, you're going to forward the info to Christy for the Welfare Committee. I'm going to open it up for open discussion, or as always, someone can move to adjourn early. But Brian, I see your hand is up. Oh, you're muted.
Sorry, if there's no discussion or open stuff, I'm moved to adjourn.
So we have move to adjourn. Someone can second or Kit?
I second.
All right. So this is unanimous consent. So unless anyone has opposition to ending early? I'm not seeing any. So everyone, you get, we had time for new business and you had get 15 minutes back in your day.
Very, very good meeting today, everyone.
Yay. Thank you.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.